Yeah, because you were stuck on Spanish.
No, I don't know. Like, but was
SPL,
it
SPL, the yeah, little like, switch?
Yeah, but the sap button. You know?
Walter, it's not the first time this has happened. I'm a professional. We can fix this. And all we have to do is try to recap what we just talked about for the last 5-10 minutes. Let's see. We talked about Samuel Jackson. I forgot to hit record again. Sweet Jesus.
Oh, you did it again?
No. Right now. Just saying so the listeners know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Forgot to hit record. We were deep in Samuel Jackson philosophy here. God, people will never know now.
Well, of course they will. Because, all right, let's start over. When was the first time that he said, and we're going to say it?
This is important information people want to know, by the way. Yeah. When's the first time Samuel Jackson started his curse word career? Or his curse tangent career?
You want to go
his profanity certification?
Ambassador,
yeah. I want to say Pulp Fiction is when he started really, like, taking full advantage of or leaning into his special gift. Now people are probably gonna wonder, like, dude, how much were they talking about him for then to come to this conclusion of he has a special gift of somehow delivering these amazing words so fluently, you know?
It's like, you know, I think you remember that SpongeBob episode where they were saying curse words and it was bleeped out by dolphins?
Yeah,
exactly. I think it was Patrick that said it the best. They're voice enhancers.
Yeah, they're voice enhancers. Yeah. They're
to add more
scent. There's more ump to the
more detail. I guess
more detail. Yeah, they bring a lot of emotion.
Yeah,
you know, because you can say like Miguel's Moment is the best podcast in the world, or you can say Miguel's Moment is the fucking best podcast in the world. See how like that's just heavier.
It adds more detail.
Or like, fuck, Miguel's Moment. You know what? The last. it gets bigger. It's like, Miguel's Moment is the best podcast. Fuck. You know, like, you can get really, really technical with this stuff. But the last podcast I did with Hannah and Carlos, we were talking about this exact same thing. It's like, they're enhancers, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many ways you can say it.
I didn't think about it until I got older and really started thinking about that episode. And I was like, they're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just. You can say it regularly, but as soon as you add in a curse word, it kind of like emphasizes it more, a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, why use another vocabulary where you can just have that?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I remember in high school, it was such a like bad thing to like curse and stuff like that. But now it's, you see all these video games people are playing online. And, I mean, you see videos all the time of like little kids on the other side of the...
Yeah.
Of the game, just, yeah. Motherfucker, fuck your mom. Like, what the hell?
I'm pretty sure I didn't even know what that meant back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like, oh, what? Yeah.
Here's one. Do you remember when you first started cussing?
Dude, I don't know. I remember in high school, I was not a big cusser.
Okay.
Because I remember my friends in high school says, like, you don't really curse, do you? He's like, I just don't find the need to right now.
Yeah.
And then as I got older, I found the need. So, like, there's moments where, like, I go days, months without cursing or anything. But then once I start, it's like, fuck, man. I can't fucking stop, you know?
I remember specifically I was in third grade.
Third grade?
Third grade. No, here, let me explain. I wasn't saying it where I wasn't supposed to. If I was like in my room or something, I'd be like, damn. And then I'd be like, oh my God, that, you know, again, going back to that SpongeBob episode, he says, my lips are tingling. And I can't, you know, getting older, I can relate to that completely. It's like, oh yeah, your lips are tingling. It feels good in a sense. I feel like either I got older, I don't know.
Yeah.
But obviously I never did it for my parents. Or, like, a place where I was going to get, you know, in trouble. But, you know, I mean, you know, Mexican parents, they curse in the house all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll curse at you, and they'll curse the world because of you.
Also, the more you use it, the less.
It's kind of like saying fork multiple times. You start losing its meaning, or it starts sounding weird, like fork. It starts sounding weird.
So like,
don't abuse it. Like, don't abuse the F word too much. Like, I mean, use it elegantly or when needed.
If it's already, well, let's put it this way: like the word "shit" is already, I guess, abused more to the point where you'll hear on regular TV now.
Yeah, I do. Even on regular programming,
it'll be like on PG-13 or whatever. But I remember, I remember back watching like edited movies like on TV,
like shit or like bloopers, kind of.
No, like
when they bleep it out,
or they do a kung fu movie dub and just like put somebody else's voice saying like, damn, it's
that. I'm tired of this stuff. Yeah. It sounds like somebody else like yelling second.
Do you remember, did you watch Next Friday?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Remember that part where Day-Day and Craig are trying to jump over the backyard of the Joker brothers?
Yeah.
And Day-Day's like, ah, shit. You know, and then I was rewatching it because it was on TV back then, you know, and it's like, oh, it's on TV, I'm going to watch it. And he's like, ah, shucks. Like, shucks?
Well, this doesn't sound right. It sounds a little different.
Or whenever they'd say, like, asshole.
Yeah.
They'd say ass and then bleep out the whole part.
Yeah. I mean, they know what you're trying to say. It's like, you ain't putting a fast on, you know.
No.
You can't. Like,
but then, I don't know. But then again, I guess when the people who grew up finally are taking care of, like, programming and movies, I guess the things
new
change.
Generation.
The new generation changes. You know, the rules change a little bit where they're like, you know what? It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that bad. Or like Mother Trucker or something. Like they just make different things up.
That means like,
what up, my wicker?
Or yeah. Like, I'm watching like a Nickelodeon show or like a Disney show and they'll say crap. And I was like, what? You know, wow.
Oh, there's a trailer for the new Boss Baby 2 movie coming out. And there's a part where he goes, when the boss baby goes, what the fudge? And we're like, whoa. Like, kids are obviously going to know what people were talking about here. But it's, you know, I'm like, I'm sure there's some parent out there that's going to send a strongly worded letter or send a tweet.
Maybe not so much now, but there will be somebody.
Yeah, there'll be somebody, but not so much now. Because I've seen, like, a picture of this, I don't know if it was a single mother or just a mother who was in charge of, you know, picking up the kid from school when he's in trouble kind of thing. But the teacher's like, yeah, you know, he said a bad word when he was here. He goes, okay, I'll take care of it when I get home. And they get home, it's like, Billy, what the fuck? Like, seriously, dude? Like, yeah, don't make me look bad.
Yeah, if you say, you know, I say it, but you can't, you know.
Last night, Crystal, my wife, she was saying, "It's like, I better watch out what I say in front of Sophia, my 18-month-old."
Yeah.
Before she's, because now she's repeating everything, kind of right. She's mouthing the words and everything, and I'm like, I mean, I don't really care. And she starts going, "Okay, Sophia, what the fuck, you know?"
And she's like, training her.
And she starts going, "What the?" And she's like, "Oh," and then she repeated it and repeated it and repeated it without us even telling her. And like, okay,
it's cute until they can't stop.
It's cute, yeah. Until it's they like don't stop. When they like play fight with you, and you like you grab their hand, and you know, kind of,
and they
brush
swing.
Your face a little bit. You're like, oh, how dare you? And you like playing with them. It's like, and I'm like, watch. Right now, it's cute. Later on, when they're 13 and they hit back, or they're trying to hit, you know, or they're trying to like slap you or something, then it's not cute. You know,
don't teach them every move yet.
Yeah. keep a few secrets or pretend like you have a few secrets left at least, as far as like combating your kid.
I've read many stories of the kids repeating. I mean, I have three.
You have so three?
I have three kids, yeah.
Dang.
I have a 9-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And I'm done.
You're done?
So, I think there was My oldest, I think, might be going through the same thing I did when I was, like, in third grade.
Just start a little being more rebellious? Or?
No, no, no. Just, like, she'll say a cuss word probably maybe at the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Maybe under her breath. Maybe somewhere, you know, where she knows she's not allowed to, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm pretty vocal about, look, I'll be honest, I cuss in front of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they know that they're not allowed to say it.
Right, right. Right.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that every once in a while...
They'll sneak one in.
Or they'll be like... And then, you know, you curse yourself.
Yeah.
But obviously with another curse word, like, damn it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened, but I think she must have been up in a room with her little brother. And somehow he starts running down the stairs. And I can hear him. Me and my wife can hear him. We're sitting down. We can hear just a faint shit, shit. Shit, and he's getting closer, and he's going down the stairs.
The younger kid?
The three-year-old, our son. And our oldest, Lexi, she's running down behind him going, Dobbin, no, you don't see that word. And she's like, and it's not like one of those, like, she was trying to protect him from getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell there was some, in her voice, there's some fear in her voice, because she's like, so I didn't think much of it. I was just like, oh, great. Like, he's... Yeah. So he's running down, and she's running down behind him. And it's hard not to laugh in the beginning, but you can't show laughter or else they're going to think it's okay, and they're just going to keep doing it.
Right? Yeah, I know.
And so it's hard, and then eventually just kind of you're like, all right, we have to. So I didn't do anything at the moment. I thought my wife was going to.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why I wasn't doing anything right there. But we started talking about it. Me and my wife started talking about it after we, you know, we quelled the whole thing. And
yeah.
We're like, guys, just go back out of your room. And my wife was like, you know, Lexi probably said it. And we're not getting in trouble.
Yeah, because you're just trying to, like, make sense of it.
Make sense of it. Why are you going to, you know, let's be real. Kids are kids. They probably will be saying it at school. And if you're not there and if you're not getting, they're not getting in trouble for it, what can you do? You can't prove they did. You can't prove that they aren't.
Yeah.
So she's, you know, so we're like, I was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, she's getting at that age. I was like, I remember I was around that same age. She's 9.
Yeah.
I was like, I was around the same age when I started doing that too, but I was very careful. And so I figured what was going on in her head was like, as he's running downstairs, in her head, she's probably like, oh shit, he's gonna, you know.
They're gonna put two and two together.
Now, the reason why I didn't say anything, as they already got downstairs, because I was saying the same thing. Oh, shit. She's going to know. My wife's going to know that it's my fault.
It's a full circle.
Yeah, because I was like, she's going to know that it was me that unintentionally taught him because I say it around there. So the whole situation is kind of funny, but, I mean, yeah, you.
Yeah. How with the 9, 3, and 2-year-old, obviously the 9-year-old is a lot more fluent than, like, using computers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And since we try to, you know, one, we can't control everything,
mm-hmm.
but do you find yourself, like, worrying a little more now that she's a little older?
In the aspect of computers and stuff?
Yeah, just what she sees and stuff like that. Because I know the news is one thing. But.
Yeah, well, we heavily monitor online usage with her and with all the kids.
Yeah.
We put child blocks in a lot of things. And there's a couple of things that I... And sometimes it sucks because I feel like I'm, like, blocking a certain, like, a fad for her.
Yeah.
And, like, as a parent, because I think of, like, what I was able to do when I was a kid, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, being a Mexican, you know, being Mexican background.
Yeah, but,
like. I mean, we saw a freaking Exorcist at, you know, a very young age. Like,
chupacabras.
So, we're told stories. We're
told stories, yeah.
And Nahuatl, Chupacabra, La Llorona. Like, it's all, I mean, it's their version of the boogeyman kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And but it was a lot more detailed and gory. So, I'm surprised we don't have more scars. I mean, I'm sure we do, like. Emotional scars.
If you start really doing therapy on yourself, you'll discover what kind of scars you have.
Yeah. But,
like, we also weren't really taught how to, like, invoke that emotionally or, like, say it out, you know? Not until recently where I'm, like, talking honestly and openly with my wife is where, like, I start kind of, I guess, doing therapy with myself and discovering all these things that, like, scarred me a certain way, but kept checked during like my youth. And now that I guess not, you know, there's no high school, there's no like popularity thing.
Yeah, there's nobody you have to impress.
Exactly.
You just have to take care of these three, four people, you know?
Yeah. And you're just like, okay, well, I guess I can be myself now.
Yeah. And I think it's a beautiful thing when you can be yourself especially with your immediate family, because it's, I feel like it's such a like huge like weight when you're trying to like dampen who you really want to be, kind of thing. Because like in high school, it's like, wow, that's weird. You know, there was a lot of judgment going around, kind of thing.
All the time, yeah.
And I'm just hoping like when Sophia gets old enough, I can show her like it's not as big of a deal as we might make it seem in the moment when we're in high school or middle school or, you know, or even elementary.
Yeah.
But the reality is like we kind of sort of knew that, yet we still got sucked into that world a little bit when it did happen.
Well, I mean, here's the thing though. Like popularity. Our parents, like being Mexican and coming from immigrant families and stuff,
They still act like high school when they're older, because he's like when you tell them who's your friend, it's like, and they ask you, oh, who's their parent or something, because they're trying to find out, because they want to see how like impressed they can. I don't know. It feels like they want to see
Their home is. Means
how their home is. Like, if they are as a person, kind of thing.
Exactly. Siendo bien guachalotes or something. You know.
Like. Yeah. For the longest time, I would ask my mom after. Ever since I started, you know, working after high school and stuff like that, I would ask her, it was like, Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? Mom, what do you want for your birthday? And the thing she kept saying is like, quiero que vayas para atrás a la escuela porque necesitas aprender. You need to go back to school so you can learn and get a better paying job.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I was so not into school.
Yeah.
So doing another 4 years of it is not going to make me happy, kind of thing. So I just kind of like put my head down and like worked. Right.
Yeah.
And now I'm where I'm at today. And actually, like, I can tell my mom's like, Mom, I actually made like twice as much as you, you know, which is kind of, you know, not to flex on her, but like, it's kind of cool to say, like, Mom, this is your result as well. You put a lot of values in me.
Well, when they come here to this country, they think they see, you know, the higher paid jobs or quote unquote, all that stuff.
People who are educated.
And it's like, go to college. You know, if you go to college, you're going to succeed in life. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And even schools, I know when we were in school, they really heavily did that same thing too.
Yeah.
And I mean, in some cases it does work, but it, like, let me put it this way, like when I got older, I realized I wish I would have gone more into like acting.
Yeah.
Or maybe even choir.
You follow your passions a little bit more.
Well, I mean, I mean, I didn't know these were my passions until later, because I wasn't allowed to have those. Like, and in some ways, I was stifled. Mm-hmm. Is that the right word?
I'm just going to nod yes on that one.
Okay, whatever. If it was a word, that was it.
I think you were like,
I was so, like, I focused more on, like, I guess everybody focuses a lot sometimes on popularity, but, like, I took physics.
Yeah.
Like, when the hell am I going to use physics again? And I'll be honest, I should have been honest with myself then.
Yeah.
I cheated my whole way through physics.
Well, no. Oh, really?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
A lot of copy and paste kind of thing.
I spent more time figuring out how to cheat.
Here's an exclusive, guys. In case anybody's wondering.
If anybody's wondering, Mr. Fairbanks, if you're listening.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, no. Like, I spent more time figuring out how to cheat than studying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's problem solving 101
I mean, maybe that's street smarts. I don't know, right? And I mean, the things that we used to come up with is actually, it's funny.
There's a very good, vivid memory I had when I was in 10th grade. And there was this problem on the whiteboard, and the class was split into two, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say his name. I know who I was up against. But they picked, on my side, they picked me to go solve the problem. And on his side, they picked him, right? And he's still working on the problem, stuff like that. And I'm done. I didn't, showed my work, emphasis on the period at the end. Or, you know, all this stuff.
You're confident.
And I was very confident. And back then, she was known as Miss Patrick, but now Miss Masucci.
Okay.
She came up to my side of the whiteboard. She goes, that's good. Yeah, it's called correct. Yeah, your side got the points, whatever. But then over here, they were still cheering him on the entire time.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like over here already done, like,
Like, why continue going on?
Yeah, like, it was the weirdest thing, but he was obviously a lot more popular. So, in my head, I'm like, okay, math ain't gonna do it. There's no way they're gonna notice that. So, like, after that, like, my math interest just started dwindling. Like, I can tell that's the moment it happened, because I was like, there's, for me, it's like, one, you see movies all the time, and it, you know, depending on the maturity of the movie, you can kind of like start developing your own personal opinion about certain things, right? Mm-hmm. And like, one of the things that people start having an opinion on is like math. When am I ever going to use it?
Yeah.
Right. So that's what started becoming my like mentality bit, you know, just my demeanor towards math. Like, I'm never going to really use it again. And if I do, it's going to be very like add and subtract kind of thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
And most of the math that's done, like, let's say on mortgages or any kind of loans, that's a same thing. It's add and subtract. Yeah. Percentages, sure. You know, but it's sort of
like, when am I going to use a parabola?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is anymore. but then the other day, there was this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know what? I'm gonna see if I can solve it real quick.
Yeah.
Nope. Didn't know where to start anymore. Just completely gone. I'm sure if I took a class and I started like, oh, it's coming back to me kind of thing.
It's not over.
But like if somebody gave me like a, I don't know, like find X or something, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, definitely gonna have a hard time with that one.
Well, let's put it this way. It's not over because Sophia still needs to go to school. And
yeah.
When that happens, it'll come back to you. And yeah. You'll be like, oh, yeah, that thing.
I think I'm very lucky with Crystal. We have this kind of like mutual agreement that she's gonna be like stay at home and I'm gonna be the the provider kind of thing, and I'm sure I need to get brush up on my homework every once in a while, because I know that's a good bonding time with the kid, right?
Yeah.
Dad, can you help me with my homework at some point, right? Sure, what do you got? Nope. Ask your mother.
Is there an X in there?
Yeah.
Okay,
then, yeah. Is there an X? It's English? No. Tampoco. You see how I went to Spanish because I don't want to figure out English, but I'm very lucky because she did raise her 10-year-old cousin through the first five years of his school so far, and she did all that. She changed the diapers at the beginning. She eventually, when he went to school, she started helping him with homework. So she's very well like efficient on the parenting side of schooling kind of thing. So I think I'm lucky there to where I don't have to worry as much.
Yeah.
But I know at some point I'm going to have to be like, either sit down and tell Sophia the truth. Your dad's an idiot. Doesn't know anything about math anymore.
Pues mi hija no sé.
Yeah, no sé. ¿Sabes qué? Pregúntale a tu mamá. Like, just, why are you talking Spanish? It's like, I don't know. I just revert. Just, I just go backwards to my, like, when I was five, you know, before school. I was telling a story the other day. I don't know how it came up. I think we were just talking about, like, oh, have you ever drowned? Or something. Like, and I'm like, oh, there's this one time we were, like, it looked like, it was this, like, outdoor swimming area.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a pool. Because it was, like, you can tell, like, there was dirt and stuff like that. But it was, like, they made it to where, like, it was swimmable. So there wasn't fish in there or anything. And I remember getting on a floaty. I was, like, probably 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
I remember getting on a floaty and it started floating towards the deep end. And for some reason, I decide, oh, I'm going to, instead of being in the floaty, I'm going to go, it's a donut. Yeah. I'm going to go and try to get on the outside. Oh, shit. And the thing, once I get down and I went back up, it was gone. And now I'm fighting for my life here, trying to, you know, stay above water. And this skinny little white dude is like, comes up and tries to push me. I was a fat Mexican back then. I was this fat little chubby kid. And he starts pushing me up and I can feel his skinny fingers under my stomach trying to push me up. But back then, I spoke a lot of Spanish.
Yeah.
And I remember, instead of saying, help, help, you know, I was saying auxilio. Like, auxilio. I actually used to like say that word.
Oh, auxilio.
Like, in my head, thinking back, it's like, help is such a shorter, more efficient word. Auxilio, you have like three syllables. Like, auxilio. That's at least one. That's four. Yeah,
that's like, at least one gulp of water in between.
Yeah. You know, auxilio, and I'm done. You know? Like, I used up my syllables. But, it was just funny because, like, as a kid, I knew my main number, you know, my go-to language was Spanish, but at some point in my childhood, even my subconscious, when I'm thinking to myself, it's in English now.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about that? It's like, holy crap.
Yeah, you know what? And another thing that I've thought about was, and something just happened yesterday. My mom was over. And I was going to say, do you change your mannerisms, on English and Spanish, depending on who you're talking to? Because, like, I would agree with you that in the beginning, I remember talking Spanish. Like, I used to talk a lot of Spanish at home.
Yeah.
And at some certain times, even to my brother. And then eventually me and him just English all the time. Yeah. But when we talked to our parents, it was Spanish. Yeah. But at one point you just switched over. You just don't, right? Yeah. And then like you can drop it at a hat. You'd be like, hey, let's do this. Y luego también para allá. Para,
yeah. You know, like that. You got that Spanglish going on. Yeah.
So yesterday, and something I kind of noticed yesterday, I was going upstairs. My mom came over. And I'm talking to her in Spanish. And I realized I stumbled. Mm-hmm. I tripped over something. I was walking up the stairs. I almost fell walking up the stairs. And instead of saying, oh, shit, like I normally would have, I was just talking to my mom. And I said, I weigh.
Yeah, because you were stuck on Spanish.
No, I don't know. Like, but was
SPL, switch. Yeah, but
the sap button. You know? But, there was no reason for it. It's not like I was in mid-sentence with her.
Yeah.
It's that she was there.
Yeah.
The fact that she was there for some reason, I don't know.
So, there's this thing I do, especially when I sneeze. So, when I sneeze, I go, achoo. Mm-hmm. Or, I do that for some reason, and I remember my grandpa doing it, I remember my dad doing it, and then when I became a certain age, I started doing it myself, and I'm like, it just feels right.
It just does, yeah. Hija tu madre, yeah.
And like, achoo, hija tu madre, and just so efficiently go into that phrase. It's probably
maybe there's some sneezes that are a little more forceful, or
kind of, there's also that weird all right, so when you're growing up and you're a child and the world is this something that you just don't realize how big it is, right?
Yeah.
So your world is very small. And as a kid, they give you the cookies, little treats here and there. So you just when you're older and you have that treat, you kind of remember your childhood a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice little reminder, you kind of feel good. A lot of people forget that you got to stop eating after a certain amount of cookies because you know it's bad. But it's a little little reminiscing time, right? And I think that's where I get it from. When I sneeze, I remember my grandpa doing it, my dad doing it, to where for me that's a manly thing a little bit. So I remember looking up to them when they sneeze, oh yeah. So it's that weird little tweet, little thing that reminds me of them, kind of thing. Yeah, so you know,
and passed on the torch, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. It's if you ever go out of town and you go to a restaurant where they handmade tortillas or something like that, the first thing you go to is oh man, my grandma, like that. And I think that's why I do that, which is very interesting. I'm sure there's other,
Have you sneezed on the podcast yet?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Everybody who's listening, remember from this point
on. Yeah, if I sneeze, I'm probably going to do that. At least away from the mic.
Listen closely.
Yeah, listen closely. I'll be cursing in Spanish a little bit. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, my mom was like, hijo tu pinche madre. And I was like, right? Pretty much means son of a bitch a little bit, right?
And
I remember being the smart ass, mom, don't call yourself that.
So my mom, I had a conversation like that with my mom. I said something like, hey mom, remember when you say hijo tu puta madre, pinche madre, or something? And she's like, no, I never said that.
Yeah.
Specifically, I was like, you didn't? She's like, no, I would say hijo de tu mendiga madre.
Yeah.
She's like, because I talk about myself. She's like, when I say that, you talk about yourself.
Yeah.
So if your mom is the one saying that, like you said, you're talking about yourself. She said, so I'm not going to say the worst one. If you say hijo de tu puta madre, you're calling her a bitch.
Yeah.
you know, or whatever. So he's like, but if you guys did something and it's, you know, I clearly taught you, or yeah. or maybe I wasn't present enough to do that. So she would, you know, mendigo is kind of like
yeah.
stupid, or like, you know, a lesser form of whatever.
Yeah.
She said, at least that way, I am cursing myself, but not to the highest degree.
Yeah, I'm not putting myself down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I just know that I made that mistake and it came full circle. Karma, so to speak.
Yeah.
There is this TikTok video where this lady shared an experience her husband had. He said he found like a wallet with like $300-$400 on there. Yeah. And he, outside of a restaurant, and he went back in and told, hey, I found this wallet. He left the money intact and everything. And she's just curious, what would you have done? And people are like, oh, I would have kept the money and like brought in the, you know, whatever. They don't want to know it was me who took the money, blah, blah, blah. I just found a wallet outside.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I was like, man, I feel like I would leave it alone too. Like, I would obviously turn it in. It's like, hey, I found a wallet outside, but I want to touch the money. And, I mean, most of the comments were like, keep the money, keep the money, keep the money. And I'm like, dang, that's kind of like society we are at right now.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to add to my comments, like, hey, I would have done the same. And I added on there is like, it might sound silly, but for some odd reason, I truly believe this, is when I do those things like that, it feels like I'm investing in good karma.
No, of course.
100%. You know what I'm saying?
No, 100%.
Like, even as a little kid, for some reason, I had this, like, I was very morally inclined to do these little things. I
agree with you more, because that's exactly how I am.
When I remember walking at the park over by where the fountain used to be, and this guy straight up dropped his wallet. I don't know what he was doing. He was handling ice cream. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he went to go put his wallet away, and he like dropped it, and we were walking by. And my mom's like, hey, mira, he dropped his wallet. And then my brother was going to go get it, but I like beat him to it or something. And I went to go tell him, hey, he dropped your wallet. Being the good kid I am, yeah, right? Yeah. And I had to put my mom on blast on this. Like, I would have kept it, she said. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Damn. All right, moms.
All right.
Now I know.
I guess I didn't learn this from you.
Exactly. And having that memory kind of makes me feel like, what? Why? Why did I have that memory? Why did I make that decision in the moment? There's two ways it could have gone. My brother, I feel like he would have kept it for some reason. Me, since I got my hands on it first, I had the ultimate decision here. Yeah. I went to go tell the guy. He was already like 20 feet away or something that. And I don't know if in the moment I took longer to make that decision or not, but I just remember giving it to him. And ever since then, like, I've always just thought about doing the right thing. There's small instances here and there. Jaywalking, I'd rather go cross at the crosswalk. Yeah. It doesn't affect anybody.
Yeah.
I just know for a fact that if something goes wrong, I can at least say it wasn't my fault.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good way to live by it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's funny. Whenever I think about those situations, I just kind of think, well, if it was my wallet,
I would like somebody to give it back.
I would like somebody to give it back. I'd want my money to be in there. I want my credit cards to be in there. Yeah. I have a kind of a similar story as you, being a little kid and doing the right thing, like you said.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I know my parents always taught us to be polite.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we're representing them.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
We're representing them, so they want to show the world you that can't, they yeah, have those under control.
That's a very good point. Right? Revelations.
But yes, no. They, yeah.
So we were at... So I've lived here since I was 3.
Okay.
Okay. And we were at the Colgan place, you know, with the water.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was... I guess, and like you said, I don't know why this keeps from, I can't remember in this one specifically, but I know from this point forward, I always thought if I do the right thing, it just feels better. You're not necessarily always going to get rewarded, but it just feels better.
Yeah.
And I remember I was, so, you know, our parents, I mean, by the time you were little, did your parents know English yet? Were they? Did a little bit more.
They all know the bad words when they get here.
Did you ever have to translate for them?
Yeah, no, okay, definitely. Yeah. Okay, definitely. I was my mom's translator when she was getting her residency.
Okay, same. So my dad learned English first before my mom. Mm. And a lot of the times, I remember translating for my mom.
Yeah.
So, but of course, my mom was always very reserved. She didn't really talk too much if she didn't have to. Mm. Because of the language barrier. So, we were at the Colgan place, and I remember just being really little. And we were either in line or there was some there was, I just remember it was some white guy, two white guys, older, obviously. And they were, you know, putting the money in. It was dimes back then. I still remember the dimes because God, I remember, yeah.
Back then, water was cheap.
Yep. And I remember he was putting his change back in his pocket and all of it like blows out and it just like on the floor. Because of how polite I was taught and raised to be, I remember immediately springing into action. I picked up all those coins and I like held out my little hand to him. Mm-hmm. And my memory, now, I mean, this could be fabricated, but my memory, I still remember this guy was wearing like sunglasses, either had no shirt on or had like a sleeveless shirt.
Yeah, but you remember bare arms.
Yeah, I remember bare arms. And like he was, you know, to me, anybody bigger than me was older, right? Like old.
Yeah.
He was probably like in his 20s for all I know, maybe in his 30s.
Yeah.
And I remember he had like a couple missing teeth. Mm. So he definitely had like one tooth like kind of like hanging out. So he was like, one of those guys, right? Let's just go that way. And I hurry up, spring into action, and I give him his money back.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at me, he takes it and he goes, oh no, don't worry about it. You buy yourself some gum with that or something.
Yeah.
And like, it was that little act of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was going on, you know, like for all I know, like, you know, I'm Mexican, this is some white guy, like, you know how things are sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, he immediately just like, you know, and he's like, oh, you know, it was probably cute or maybe it was too nice. Or he's like, you know, it's okay. Don't worry. Go buy yourself some gum.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember that memory. And from that point on, I still remember like, be nice to people.
Yeah.
You know, just, it doesn't really cost much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's all it does is like what you got into it. You just got out of your comfort zone. That's pretty much it.
I mean,
talked to a stranger.
Yeah, exactly. I remember one time at Walmart back in the day.
Yeah.
Like somebody lost a flip phone,
mm-hmm.
and I remember finding it like outside of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And that was before, you know, any lock screens or anything. So you can see everything. And like I saw, like I just said, okay, let me call somebody here, and I called like home. I think it was like labeled home or something.
Yeah.
And I called them and said, hey, I found your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And you know, I tell him, you know, oh yeah, I live here, whatever. He comes, he grabs it, he's like, oh, thanks, and walks away.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything. I didn't expect anything.
Yeah.
But it felt nice knowing that somebody had found something they lost.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe there's this weird, serendipity moment where like he got a call from somebody very important on his cell phone later on.
But just always, yeah, exactly. But just always know that like, if it was you, you'd
like
be looking hell on earth, you know, hell and back just to get it. You'd be maybe worried about what's on there or.
Well, I think now, yes. Back then, flip phones, I don't know.
Well, no, but I mean, like, I remember when I had my flip phone, I'd still check my pocket to see if it was still there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just because it just belongs to you. You just don't want to lose anything.
That's true. You know, working at the movie theater, we're always finding cell phones, wallets, because they just slide out.
Yeah.
And there's some wallets we have there since like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they still haven't come back.
That's crazy.
I'm like, sweet Jesus. Like when does it become like a thing where like, okay, now I got to do something else with the wallet?
I guess you could
mail it.
You can
to the address that's on there.
Yeah, you can do that.
I'm thinking.
Or you can.
I can go drop it off if it's local.
Yeah, if it's local, exactly. Yeah. Or you can like give it a police station. Then at a certain point, they'd be like, well, you can claim it.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, I guess you.
Yeah.
Did enough where it's yours, maybe? I don't know if that's how it works. Who knows? But
I don't know.
I'm sure it'd feel good to be like, okay, well, I went there. Hopefully they still live there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. There's, what's it called? There was this one time at the theater, couple of the coworkers I used to work with, they found, I want to say a wallet or something, but it had like over $1,000 in there, right? The fact that they knew how much was in there kind of worries me a little bit.
Yeah.
So that means they counted it.
Excuse me. Look, if you touch it and you don't steal, it's not stealing yet.
Yeah. So before they found the wallet, it apparently belonged to a pilot.
Okay.
A pilot. He left his wallet. All his credentials are in there, blah, blah, right? He calls the theater. He drops by. He couldn't find it. Nobody can. And he goes, all right, leave your name and number. If we find it, we'll call you. They found it.
Yeah.
And they called him. And he said, before they found it, he said, like, obviously you'd give a reward if they found it, please, and thank you, blah, blah. So, all right, so they had it to the side. They were thinking, oh, man, they're going to get some money, right? Yeah. There's $1,000 in there. Of course. You know. Apparently, he came by when, you know, the people who found it weren't here working. And he just claimed it and left. Even though he promised a reward. Yeah. It's just one of those things where, like, that's when you're like, man, is that bad karma for that guy? Because I feel like if you tell somebody you're going to do that.
No, yeah, that would be, I would say that's bad karma for that guy. You just kind of leave it as it is. You say, all right, well then, whatever power maybe may or may not get him, but you did the right thing.
Yeah, and that's where you start really getting into like a little bit of I want to say heated debate within myself. So good karma and bad karma, right? Mm-hmm. If you get bad karma or something happens, you know, you can argue that you did something when you were younger that might have affected and, you know, just coming back around. But then there's people who are really suffering in the world. I'm like, I don't think they have bad karma. That you know, they're just trying to survive. So at what point or at what, like, tax bracket do you say bad karma doesn't count, you know?
I don't know.
And that's where it starts getting a little tricky, you know? Because obviously people don't deserve to, you know, suffer the way they do. I mean, you look at all the... There's as a kid, especially when I was a teenager, I saw Blood Diamond. As a kid, you see all these things happening outside the world. We're in our little bubble here in Paso, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Things happen. Oh, there's a fire? Where? Oh, not too far from here? Yeah, I was wondering why it was dark outside. Like, it's just the weirdest sensation here. And then when we have something happen here, obviously, oh, we made national news. Like, we get kind of excited that we made...
Yeah.
You know, the shooting a year ago that was downtown next to the theater, like right next door, right in front of the theater. That was a year ago, and nobody's talking about it anymore. I mean, Paso News said, hey, it's been a year.
Oh, I guess slow news day, huh?
Yeah, slow news day. And I'm just like, oh, sweet Jesus, it's been a year. And it's just those things, like, Paso is in their little bubble. Like, things are happening out there. I feel like we're barely even affected. And if we are, we just don't know. Because I don't know enough of, like, local economy on how we're doing, you know. I'm in my own little bubble in my house, too, you know?
Of course, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Plus, I was kind of like, I would say south, trying to be south Napa Valley or something.
Something like that. I mean,
we've grown, but I mean.
Yeah. Back in 2012. I can't remember the exact date and time, but.
The year the world's supposed to be?
Yeah, 2012. God, that was such a great year. So I moved to Lamar to run a theater over there, right?
Yeah.
And when I left, foot traffic was very small, you know, here in Paso. And there wasn't, like, red scooter sandwiches for $4, you know? There was all these things that were, like, just so much cheaper, so much, you know, less touristy.
Yeah.
And I moved back in 2016. And gradually, I would visit in between that, right? And I would notice more cars parked downtown. I would notice way more people walking downtown every time I visited. I noticed the red scooter sandwiches got more and more expensive.
Yeah, those bastards.
And I'm like, oh, my God. They're delicious, but damn. And, I had that, like, what's it called? That privilege of seeing it grow. Because I would visit, so, you know, every once in a while, every 2-3 months, I would come by for a day or two. And I saw Paso just growing and growing, and then I was like, holy crap. Like, to see it from an outside perspective growing is, you know, was good for me. Because when I moved back, now I'm like, fuck, I know the potential that Paso still has.
I mean, do you remember being a teen and there was nothing to do?
There was nothing new. Yeah.
The best thing you could look forward to was becoming 21 moving, finally go to the Crooked Kilt. When there was a line back then. Remember, there used to be a line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cover charge.
There used to be a line.
I mean, there's still a cover charge, I think. I can't remember.
Every once
in a while. But I remember.
I remember, if we, because the only thing we could really do was go to the movie theater here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you got to go, like, at a nighttime show, you'd see, like, the Crooked Kilt.
Yeah.
Like, big-ass line. You're like, damn, I cannot wait to be 21
That's going to be popping now. That's going to be popping. Like, now, when you're old enough and you go, and you notice, like, nobody's really there until, like, 11 o'clock for some reason. It's so, like, how late was I out?
You're, like, 22. Yeah. Now you're like, this sucks.
Yeah, I know. It's just one of those things where, like, perspective as you get older kind of thing. But it was very interesting. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see the next 10 years for Paso, and I think it's going to be even that much more. I think we're going to, like, double in size.
Oh, without a doubt. To be honest. In 10 years, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 50 years from now, we're going to be a big city, you know.
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while we get a celebrity here every once in a while.
Oh yeah, did I tell you, Josh Brolin came by.
Did he really?
Yeah, Thanos. Yeah, yeah. I helped him. I helped him when he came in.
How long ago was this?
This is before pandemic, so obviously.
But after Endgame?
Probably 2017, 2018.
So he was reestablished as
being Thanos. Early 2018, right? I want to say.
Was he already going to be Thanos at that point?
We already knew he was Thanos.
Okay.
Oh. You didn't know he was going to snap. This is right before Deadpool 2 came out.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
He had a buzz cut and everything.
Yeah, he was Cable.
So he was Cable. But I didn't reference him as like Thanos or Cable yet, but... Now I'm sure he gets it a lot.
Yeah.
But he came in. And his now wife, I don't know if they were married before, but his wife came in first. And she was very young. And she came in. She was like, had these like really
big eyes,
like ready to like, are you ready for this? Like she looked at me like that. And I'm like, hi, how can I help you? Like she just gave me that look. Like, are you ready? You
know? Like he's coming.
He's coming. And in walks in Josh Brolin. And I'm like, and I was fine. I was cool and everything. And they ordered him and his daughter was here too. And his I thought they were both his daughters, and one was his publicist or something, because her demeanor was very much like, I'm not part of the family, but I'm here, you know, like, or not yet, you know.
Yeah.
And I can tell they weren't related, kind of thing. But they definitely had something in connection, and they find out that's his baby mama or wife, or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah.
And so they order their tickets. A couple concessions, and then I took him the total, and he hands me an American Express card. I'm just like,
Josh Brolin.
Sorry, we don't take American Express. We take Visa or Master, and just kind of smirks it off. Whatever, he's like, and he just like gives me a Visa card after that. And I'm just like, God, I'm that guy. I'm that guy. Yeah. The guy who turned away his American Express. I should just give it to him for free.
Did you ever think that he was gonna like bring out the Infinity Gauntlet? Like, no.
Well, then I wasn't like, I didn't make, I know, yeah, you know, I knew he was going to be Thanos, know, but he didn't have the snap.
I know, it'd be funny if he's like.
That would have been funny. He's like, please don't snap me, you know? And I tell that story to people, and I'm like, I was cool, calm, collected. I told, you know, obviously I kind of, oh my gosh, Thanos, you know, not yeah. Thanos, Josh Brolin is here. Oh my God. Like,
the way the hands.
Yeah, Jonah Hex. He played Jonah Hex, by the way, a DC character.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Megan Fox? Anyway, and one of my managers she's more excited, so I told her, like, hey, he's in Theater 4. And as he walks out, she goes, have a good night. And then he says, yeah, you too. And it's like, yeah. It's like, my God, he spoke to me. But so with that, I'm sure if he came in again, I was like, hey, how you been? You know, whatever, I'll try to act
cool. Yeah.
I didn't know I was a Trevor Noah fan.
Oh, okay.
Until he stopped by the theater when he was doing the...
Was this
the
recent?
Venue over at the by 46? I can't remember what it's called.
Not the amphitheater, right?
Yeah, the amphitheater. Okay. So he did stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know I was a Trevor Noah fan until he came in to watch a movie, right? Well, he was here. He came in 2 days in a row. And I was helping this like young lady over on box one, the one closest to the door. And all of a sudden I hear this British familiar accent. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like halfway through helping this young girl, and I look over and I see Trevor Noah. I'm like, oh, no God. Shit. Like, out loud. And I was just like, okay, I didn't say no shit. I'm professional. I said, no way. Like, I said out loud. Didn't just blurt it out. I'm like, no way. And I literally stood there. I don't know how long it was. I want to say a couple seconds just to keep my mind at peace. But I was waving until he waved back. I'm like, I'm just waving, and he finally looks over to me. He's like, oh, hey, how's it going?
And so would you say that was your starstruck moment?
It was weirdly starstruck moment. Okay. I didn't know it was a Trevor Noah. I've seen some of his stand-up. I know he's on the Daily
he's
Show.
He's on the Daily Show now, yeah.
And he's really good. I think he's very
pretty funny. I've heard some of his stand-up before.
Yeah. I was just like, no, fuck you. Like, I didn't know I was a Trevor Noah fan until that happened. And I'm like... I guess I'm a Trevor Noah fan. Like, I don't know his career as well as, you know, I think I should, but hey, at least I know, like, I like this guy. Because yeah. That was my initial reaction. With Thanos, it was more like,
it's Thanos,
yeah. Take back your credit card, you know? I don't take it here.
I had my first starstruck moment happened when I was 16. And ever since then, I've changed the way that I'm going to, well, I mean, who knows whenever this happens, but I've always like been like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
That gets so starstruck every time somebody famous comes by just because they're famous.
Yeah.
Especially if I don't know their career or shit, just the fact that it's them.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh my God, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I went to, do you remember in high school when they were doing those EF tours?
EF tours?
Do you remember EF tours in high school? No. It was a tour group thing that some of the, some teachers, it depended on the teacher. Mm-hmm. And they would chaperone it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to pay to go, but you got to go to like Europe or other like tours and stuff. And so you get a bunch of kids that would go. Sometimes their parents would go and stuff like that. So I got to go on two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one that I went to was for France and Spain.
Okay.
And it was cool. But then again, like I was 16.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate the fact that I was going to
France and Spain.
Like going to some cool museums. I went to the Louvre. I got to see the Mona Lisa. Like,
yeah.
To me, I was like, hey, I'm 16. I'm not home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I'm overseas.
Yeah, I'm overseas. Yeah. Two of my best friends went there. So I'm like, this is the best thing, you know, a 16-year-old can want. No, no rule of a parent. I mean, yeah, we have chaperones, but like,
drinking age over there was a little different.
I mean,
that it was important, but
not that it was important, but like, yeah, I mean, I can essentially do what I can't do because
at home, yeah,
yeah, you know what I mean? Like, my video is gonna be taken away if I do something, you know? And so, we were in Barcelona,
mm-hmm.
and this is obviously, I can't even remember what the place was called because obviously I wasn't paying attention,
yeah,
I was just there for the ride, I was there, I was happy, but it was this place that was kind of like in a, I don't know if it was like a mountain or something, but very colorful. These like cement pieces and all this other stuff. I'm sure if I look it up, I'd be able to see what the place is called. But that's where we were. And so we're with our tour group. And ironically enough, there's a bunch of other EF different tour groups there as well.
Yeah.
So when you're in another country and, you know, the language, obviously Spain wasn't a language barrier for me.
Yeah.
But like you see Americans, you're mm-hmm. just like, hey,
yeah,
you
know,
you're
something familiar.
You're something familiar, right? You just go ahead. And we're walking by, and this was back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear somebody say, "Hey, Raven's here."
Oh, because they were doing Cheetah Girls.
The Cheetah Girls. Yeah. Yeah. Raven Simone's here, and we're like, "No fucking way!" You know, we're like,
"Yeah,"
you know, me and my two other
friends. Do the look.
No, me and my two other friends were like, "Dude, where?" Like, yeah. Oh, and they're like, "Oh no, you know,
she's just here,"
and we're like, "Shit, all right." So, my next mission was
to find her.
I need to go see Raven Simone. Yeah. Because why? Because she's famous. And she was doing That So Raven, you know? And I'm like, and again, this is me being a little Paso kid.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, our bubble.
Yeah.
Somebody famous. Oh my God. I have to see them because why? Well, because they're famous, right?
Yeah.
So, I go up to the tour guide. She was our tour guide. Her name was Elena.
Mm-hmm.
And I come up to her. I'm like, Elena. Can we go see? I was like, Raven. I'm like, first off. And she's like, I think she was from like Germany or France or something, but she's European. I go up to her. I'm like, ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
Raven's here. And she goes, who's Raven? And I was like, I had to dial it in. I composed myself and I said, okay, back. I was like, in the US, there's this very famous.
Can't believe you don't know her.
There's this very famous celebrity. Her name is Raven Simone, and she's here. Can we go see her?
Yeah.
And she goes, no, I'm sorry. We're on a tight schedule. Like, we can't go. And I was like, fuck. You know, and I'm like, now I'm mad.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm like upset. And now this is where the scheming starts coming up. Me and the two other friends. And there's this kid who was there. We didn't know this kid.
Yeah.
But he was like a little younger than us. He was there with his mom. He was in high school, but like he would like, I don't know. Exactly. I don't know if he was like looking up to us, but we kind of befriended him.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, I'll go too. Right. And we're like, fucking, I don't care. You can troll with your mom. It's not my fault, you know? So me and my two other friends and the kid,
mm-hmm.
I remember we're like, all right, guys, we huddle up and we're like, all right, here's our choice. We're going to go. If we sneak off, just remember, and we were like, what's the worst that they can do?
I can just imagine the pep talk if you really got real. It's like, we might not make it back.
And as dramatic as it sounds, I'll be honest, I'm a pretty dramatic person when I get very excited.
Yeah.
So anybody who knows me, it was something like that. I got up to them and I was like, hey, I was like, all right, we can go sneak off. Just remember, what's the worst thing you can do? Look, yeah. We're in Spain. You know, we're probably never going to be in Spain again.
Yeah.
The Raven's here. We're probably never going to get a chance to see Raven. So what better story to tell that we got to see Raven in Spain?
Yeah.
And I was like, what's the worst thing you can do? Tell us to stay in the hotel? fly us back home and we're in trouble? I'd be like, fuck, I don't care. Yeah. Like, I'll go back home for that. And I'll come back home saying to everybody, like, I got to see Raven.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, we're good, right? And we're good. All right. So the line kept moving. We're like walking slowly as we're getting to the back.
Yeah.
And then because we saw where, I think we're seeing stagehands or something just kind of go up in a separate like hill.
Yeah.
So we see that we're casually walking by and then we're like just kind of going back and back and back. And then we're like, all right, let's do it. We just start going up there. One of my friends starts having second thoughts. He's like walking back and he's like, I don't know if I can do this, guys. I don't know. We're like, and then, I mean, we're 16.
Don't be a little bitch.
We're like, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. We're 16. We're dudes. You know how dudes
are. In the face. Kidding,
oh, no. We're like, you're a fucking bitch. Don't be a bitch, man. And we're just,
don't ruin this for me.
No, we're like, don't be a bitch, man. And then like, he's like, no, you know what, guys? I'm just going to, he bailed. He went back to the line. And we're like, oh, you bitch. All right, whatever. And so now it's us three. Me and my best friend. And then the kid that was growing up
there. Yeah.
So we go up there. And it's, you know, it's a stage. Yeah. It's a kind of like stage. You see a bunch of people. And then we're like, oh, my God. We're like in new territory here. We're like, oh, my God, no way. And then over there, further away, we see Raven sitting down doing an interview.
Yeah.
And like where... I can just imagine like three kids 50 feet away.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, measurements are bad, but anyway, like
three football fields.
I don't know. 50 yards away. I just remember we're like away and we're just kind of like, oh my God. We're just like stuck. We're like, oh my God, it's Raven. Like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And we started taking our cameras out and we started taking pictures from afar. One of my best friend, he has a picture where, he had a picture. He can't find it anymore, but he had a picture where he's like, all right, take a picture of me here. And she's over here in the background.
He's
and
like,
it was something like that, but the picture ended up coming out with him like this. And so we're there and we're just watching her. And I remember saying like, man, I hope we can get an autograph. And some guy, I don't know if he was a publicist, maybe doing something. He's like, she's probably pretty busy. I don't think you'll be able to. I'm like, oh, fuck it. All right, whatever. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we hear a voice behind us say, hey. We're like, oh, shit. Like, maybe we're not supposed to be up here. Right?
Yeah.
You guys American? And we, like, slowly turn around, and we're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's this tall, older man, and he's, like, happy to see another American. And he's like, you guys American? We're like, yeah. And he goes... You guys know Raven Simone then, huh? We're like, oh yeah, of course. He goes, yeah, yeah. He's like, we're actually on set. We're making the second Cheetah Girls movie. This was way before we even knew there's gonna be a second Cheetah Girls movie. We didn't even know the Cheetah Girls were there.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm the director.
Mm.
And we're like, oh, like,
cool, you're not important.
No, we're still like, wow, the director, maybe we'll get like front row.
We'll be in the movie.
We'll
man.
Be in the movie.
Yeah, maybe, we made it big.
Maybe we'll get a handshake. Cameo. Yeah, exactly. Right.
We'll be in the back.
And the dude was like super cool.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, we're doing. And at that time, I don't remember what the second Cheetah Girls movie was called. Excuse me. But he called it One in Spain. He's like, yeah, we're making the second Cheetah Girls movie. It's called like Cheetah Girls One in Spain. And we're like, oh, awesome. He goes, yeah. And he's asking us like where we're from. And we tell him like Slow County. And back then, Slow County was like not even on the map.
Yeah.
Right, and because we knew Paso Robles was gonna be nowhere, and we're like, okay, and he goes, is that? And we're like, it's in between LA and San Francisco. Let's go.
Yeah,
there. He goes, oh, well, I'm from LA, and he's just going, he goes, well, he's like, this is an open set. You know, this is a tourist spot.
Yeah,
like, feel free to walk around, and you know, and he's all super cool. And we're like, awesome, dude, thanks. And we're just like standing there, just still admiring Raven from afar. We're standing next to a trash can. I just realized we're standing next to a trash can. And we're still watching, like, people.
Metaphor of you replacing your friend. And then you walked back.
I mean, that's him. If we were to make a movie,
he'd be the replacement. Because he's trash after that.
And, like we see those, you know, in the cartoons where you see like two guys holding the big old glass, like,
yeah,
I think we see those guys even walk up there and walking over there to our left as we're turning around. All of a sudden we see people walking up, and then all of a sudden the Cheetah Girls over on the left side. Now we're more like, oh my God. Yeah, because
there's all of them now, right?
And I mean, they're hot.
Yeah.
In our head, you know, we're 16, you know. We're like, oh shit, they're fucking hot, you know. We're like, oh man, it's the Cheetah Girls. And we're just starstruck. I know me for sure, starstruck. And we're just like, all right. And so they start walking by towards us. Again, we're by a trash can.
Still.
They're walking past us. And we're like mouths open, watching them. Like, nobody say anything. The one time where my best friend over here on my left is a pretty more outspoken guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying anything.
Yeah.
And the other kid, obviously not. And then there's me, who I'm like, okay. So then my composure like kind of sets in. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I've never been a confident person, but in my head at that moment, I was like, all right, you're 16. You know, you never get this opportunity again.
You might meet your wife.
Try to say what's up. Try to get a
number.
Yeah, get a number. Exactly. Yeah. Stupid, right? And I'm standing there like, and I'm like, all right, you know, and I still remember what I was wearing at that time. Remember the baggy clothes, all that stuff? I was wearing an extra large Echo.
Yeah, yeah.
A gray shirt with like some black, like baggy ass pants. And I'm just like, all right, you know, you look good. You look all right. You know, I'm hyping myself up. And I was supposedly in my head, I was going to coolly ask, like, to get a picture and be like, hey, like, can we get a picture? You know, kind of like make kind of like a no big deal.
It's like, hey, can I do you a favor and take a picture with
me? Yeah, and I'm just like, hey, can we take a picture? You know, and just try to sweet talk or whatever. It's so stupid. But anyway. And so they walk by. And it was that girl, Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Bailon or whatever. She was there. She throws away something in the trash can.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, go for it.
Yeah.
And she says, hey.
Like in anime. Frozen.
Yeah, exactly. The blue lines. You know,
Nani? She knows me. Paga.
Yeah.
Paga.
That was my nani moment, right?
Gandhi to my
heart. Yeah. And whatever I practice in my head, none of that goes out. Instead, what happens is I do this cheesy ass grin, like just smile, like from like cheek to cheek. And I do like my hand just waves back at her, but like just, I'm just like.
Teenage girl.
It's exactly what it was. If it had been a teenage girl with like Backstreet Boys, it's exactly what it would sound like. Yeah. And that was my shot that I did not take. And like,
we learn, man.
No, I know, but it was funny because like that was all that I can get out.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was so I know that was a long story to kind of come back to this point, wasn't it? Ever since then, I'm like, I will never allow myself to get starstruck like that again.
Yeah.
I'm going to try my hardest. And like you said, I want to take everything like how you took Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Oh, that card doesn't work here.
Yeah.
Hey, cool. There like, I'm not going to be the one. I don't want to be the one that's always asking for a picture.
Because the funny thing is Trevor Noah came after Josh Brolin. Like, when he came by. So I'm like, I didn't know I was a Trevor Noah fan.
I don't know. Maybe I haven't met enough famous people to know that if I really can't keep him a picture. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm making a test for myself, but can I pass the test? I don't know. We will just have to see. For the most part, I've been doing good ever since.
Yeah.
You know, Raven and the Cheetah Girls. But I because I mean, like, I'm like they get flooded by fans every day. How about just me not being that one person that doesn't
and
that, do that?
Yeah, that's what I think about, too, when that happens. Like, I can ask for a picture, or I can just let them enjoy their day.
Yeah, just let them enjoy their day. Maybe they'll remember it, maybe they won't, but, like...
Especially when they're coming to come watch a movie. Like, the last thing they would want is...
Exactly.
Hey, you want to take a picture with me?
Yeah. We're in line at Starbucks. They're getting fucking coffee.
Yeah, paparazzi.
Yeah, like, exactly. That's kind of what... That was my learning moment, and where I was like, okay.
All right. I do have to get going to get the place started.
All right.
So thank you, Walter.
That's fun, appreciate man. It. Oh, yeah.
We can definitely do this again. I think I'm going to start doing this in, like, in the mornings like this.
Oh, awesome.
Because summer is just hitting, you know, I'm too busy during the day.
Yeah. Are you still going to do weekend mornings or?
I don't know. I think I'm just going to start asking everybody's like, hey, I'm starting to do podcasts at 9 o'clock in the mornings. Do you want to do it? Do you want to join me one of the weeks?
Yeah.
One day or whatever. And then just record and then post.
I'm basically, again, if you want me back.
Oh, anytime, dude. We can do this as many times as you want.
Yeah. I'm always down, man. Especially in the mornings. Probably the best time for me. I mean, I have 3 kids, so it's not like I'm sleeping.
I know last night was really tough for me. For us, sorry, for Crystal and my.
Yeah, don't forget her.
Yeah. I have to do this thing to where she sleeps with us for now.
Uh-huh. And the kid's different.
I have to pick her up, put her on my shoulder, mm-hmm. and then just rock her back to sleep. And then seconds later, I just put it back down. But she'll definitely wake up in between and just, like, sit up and just go,
yeah.
And that's it. And I'm like, what's wrong? Yeah, that's it.
No,
like,
it's okay. My 3-year-old son still comes downstairs to go sleep with us. So
yeah.
It's improvement. It's
light
improvement.
Of our life. Yeah. Light of our life. All right, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Yeah, that record, right?